Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
The sun rises on a new year. New year, new you. New year, new you. You look in the mirror at the line that runs down your forehead. You pluck gently at it and then recoil as your whole head splits open, the old you sloughing off in sheets and clumps as the new you crawls wet and quivering from the discarded self of last year. The new you blinks bulging black eyes against the brightness of the sun, then moistens both with the tip of its flickering tongue. Its head cocks too suddenly, too far to the left as it hears a distant signal. Bending to run on all fours, too many joints moving in too many directions, it sets off for home for the half-remembered comfort of the gargle. This is the gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to the Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and welcoming in the new year with all of the news and none of the politics are our two guest hosts, James Colley and Alison Spittle. Welcome.
Pew, pew, pew.
Hello.
Very nice to be here.
Every time I'm on with us, I realise that Alison always goes pew, 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 which is a very cool start. And I'm always left with the like, hello, like I'm the first day of kindergarten. It's always pales in comparison. This year's a write-off. Start again.
I like to process news like a wrestling heel, you know? Give myself a backstory and a character.
Vital and important. But before we crouch together and rend sharp teeth into the steaming entrails of the still living beast that is this week's top stories, let's have a look at the front cover of the magazine. And the front cover this week is 16-year-old Luke Littler, who is a contender for world champion darts player. He's 16. He's only finished his GCSEs last summer. After he beat Andrew Gilding in the second round, he celebrated by treating himself to a kebab and a can of Tango, and he is the most 45-year-old-looking 16-year-old you will ever meet.
A king.
And you won't meet him unless you play darts, because that seems to be his jam. Playing darts, that is our front cover.
Darts events, by the way, go off. They have no business being so fascinating and fun, and they should be the most boring thing you've ever been to in your life. But like in Australia, we had a riot based on in a darts event. There was the Melbourne darts riot, which I've got to say, it started off with people being angry about the darts for dart reasons, and they started throwing their plastic chairs. And then very quickly, because dudes rock and always have rocked, it became, how many chairs do you reckon we could get in a big pile in the center of this room? So then everyone started throwing their chairs together.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's like street darts. That's what they call riots. It's just street darts. We're just throwing stuff. It's great.
I happened to watch the Microsoft Excel World Championships the other day because somebody sent me a clip of it, mainly to say, hey, there's a Microsoft Excel World Championships, and it is commentated by an extremely enthusiastic man who clearly has no f***ing idea what he's watching.
Really?
So the commentary is mainly like, whoa, look at that. Wow, can you believe your eyes?
So how do you win at Microsoft Excel? Like, what? How does one...
I think by entering Microsoft Excel, you've already lost.
Fair, fair, fair. Beautiful, beautiful.
That is how it should work. It's like Wham-ageddon. How far could you get into the year without ever having to open Microsoft Office? And the last survivor is our winner.
The satirical cartoon this week is Jeffrey Epstein's client list being released in categories of fake news, because I like them. Oh, yeah, I always knew there was something sus about that guy. And, oh, boy, I can't wait for the statement. Those are the categories.
That's
officially...
I think they should tease one a week. It should be like Survivor. They come out there, or the Masked Singer. They announce like the new celebrity each week.
Oh my God.
We need to bring back event viewing, generally.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love it if they announced it like they do with like Premiership football signings. And it's like, nonce, nonce. And you just have a video of a man turning around and folding his arms. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To go,
you get
team
their stats.
Ah, oh, you gotta laugh or you'll cry / break out the guillotine. Our top story this week is skimpflation news, the sexiest word for a thing that's not sexy at all. This is skimpflation hitting grocery stores amid rising inflationary pressures, which is to say businesses charging more and giving you less. As a man who always overpromises, James Colley, can you unpack this story for us?
I promise you I can, and not really. Skimpflation. So this is not to be confused with inflation or shrinkflation. Don't you dare confuse it with shrinkflation, which is products getting smaller. This is...
And in Australia, we call that prawnflation.
You can't get away with that when there's another Australian in the room. So this is remaking a product using cheaper ingredients. So let's say like your Cadbury, and it's very expensive to create a bounty because you have to get the finest chocolates from Brazil and the finest coconuts from, I'm going to say, on top of a palm tree. And those are both quite difficult. And it's actually cheaper to get plentiful, affordable glass. And you're like, well, people who eat bounty couldn't tell the difference between a bounty and glass. And they both taste like glass and they deserve to eat glass. So you just put glass in there. And so this is what you're replacing ingredients with cheaper ingredients. And a lot of these are like reducing the amount of oil and replacing it with water, which you're going to live longer, but you're going to resent it. You're not going to enjoy any of your extra life you're given on the back of this. And then there are some particularly cheeky examples where like this study has cited a blueberry company that didn't include blueberries in the blueberry muffins, which feels fairly fundamental. Like, I feel like swapping out chocolate for chocolate flavoring and stuff, you see that every so often. But, you know, if you get a blueberry muffin, it should legally have one blueberry at least. That feels fair.
Yeah, and let's just say a decent blueberry, not a wrinkled, sad blueberry. Like, if you're only going to have one blueberry, it better be the crowning glory of that f***ing muffin.
Oh, the size of the kid from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, surely. If it's just one, let's get a blueberry.
Yeah, let's get actual children into it. Skimpflation, it feels like a modern thing, but, like, the whole food industry has been built up on skimpflation. Like, anything that you get in a chip shop, there are things in, like, whole... where it's, I can't remember the name of it, but it's like chopped meat and potato in batter. And that really wasn't done for, I think this will taste good. It's like, we don't have enough meat to like make something. So we're gonna add potato and then put it in breadcrumbs and stuff. I hope maybe there's gonna be new inventions of food.
I mean, we've been seeing this in the comedy industry for years and years as comedians get bigger and bigger and charge more and more for their tickets for an hour-long show that contains somehow each year fewer and fewer jokes.
What, do you mean they take out the jokes and fill it with transphobia?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. New and innovative transphobia, and you have to edit out things that Carl Pilkington said that people understand are his jokes and not yours. It's all very difficult. I know, Alison, we've introduced you to... like last our last episode together, we were talking about the chip supremacy, the chip color packets. Yes. Just a little bit more of Australian cuisine for you on this topic. Do you know what a Chico roll is?
A Chico roll. I don't, but I'm gonna make a guess.
Yes,
the worst
please.
Marx brother.
Is it like chicken in a row? Is that what it is?
Sounds like it should be, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The answer is we don't really know. No one knows what's inside there. No one's super sure. And Chico Roll's marketing is like, yeah, we don't know what's in there either, but it tastes good, so we did.
Oh, that's amazing. That's like Catholicism yeah. with communion. It's like, could be Christ. But the ingredients definitely say wheat and water. But
do you know Pluto Pups?
Pluto Pups? No. Yes. You've got to tell me about this. If I was to presume, I'd say the offspring of Pluto, the dog.
Well, they're more of a similar to a Chico roll. They're a thing on a stick.
Right.
In the same way as Pluto is never quite sure whether it's a planet or not, Pluto Pups are never quite sure whether they're something that's edible or not, and maybe they shouldn't be mentioning dogs in the context.
Also, you're given them at a carnival, and I reckon were you given one in like a scientifically hermetically sealed room, you have like a 60% chance of vomiting anyway. And then they're like, all right, eat this now, get on something that spins real, real fast.
Oh my god. It is like, I think it's the novelty of something being served on a stick though, isn't it?
Oh, everything it's
like,
tastes better
it
on
makes
a stick.
You feel like a caveman, even though you're just a little boy with a balloon eating candy floss. But you're just chomping
Everything's
away.
Everything's better on a stick.
Yeah,
is the title of James Colley's new porn series. That
it's also a very important part of Catholicism. Just to loop back there, you think he's good now? Wait till we put him on a stick.
Oh my god!
Your ad section now, because you can't be what you can't buy. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Jim's Gym and Gymnasium's New Year Fitness Body Boot Consent Violation Beauty Achievement Camp. You trying to get in on the TikTok looks maxing community? You trying to drop a couple of bodyweight measurement units? Gain the muscles of a young Arnold in an unfeasibly short period of time? Want to be hot at any cost? We will charge that cost. Our range of fitness instructors are deeply personally invested in your acquisition of abs for reasons they'll never explain, and they will break every rule of man and God to ensure you get all six. Jim's Gym and Gymnasium's New Year Fitness Body Boot Consent Violation Beauty Achievement Camp. Your pain is our gain. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Hell of Fresh, answering the question, what fresh hell is this? Each week, we'll deliver a carefully measured and packaged set of ingredients for causing spiritual torment in your very own home. Customised to your hellish preferences and household needs. No waste, no fuss. With canned phrases that are guaranteed to satisfy the urge you have to destroy your own life and the lives of those around you. Let us tempt you with a series of small mementos guaranteed to keep your recent failings top of mind. An exact replica of your partner's clothes, half a size smaller than the ones they have for optimized gaslighting. Therapist-approved conversation topics so you can be the dad your girlfriend's always trying to escape.
Oh, no.
HelloFresh. Oh, no. What fresh hell would you like this week?
Like all advertisements, that made me sad, Alice. That was great.
Oh, good. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Passion Fruit, the fruit of passion. Tough to open, more sour than you expected, and significantly less good than you had anticipated given the effort.
Mm-hmm. It's fruit pistachio, 100%. I'm so with you on this. It's the same thing. Every time you open a pistachio, you're like, oh, not quite worth it. That passion fruit is the exact same boat, Alice. This is all I want to talk about from that one.
Well, simultaneously not quite worth the effort, but then if somebody presents you with already shelled or potentially already deglooped passion fruit, it's too much of a luxury. Like, it's too decadent. It feels like morally wrong for somebody to be given like a bucket full of passion fruit.
Is the rich person's version of this lobster, where it's just like it's so annoying to get to? It's almost like they don't want to be eaten, and then you're like well, it's lobster, I've got to eat the lobster, and then you know, it's really just never quite worth all that went into it.
True. I love the way passion fruit goes into porn star martinis, which is my mom's favorite cocktail. I think she just likes ordering it. But you get like a half a, you get half a passion fruit served on top of your martini. And because I'm such a cheapskate, and if I get any garnish with anything, I will eat the garnish as well, whether that be a carroted rose or a rose carrot or whatever. So I'll just like, I'll just place my tongue in the passion fruit in my local pub, licking it out like a very sick cat, do you know? And it just gives me no dignity. That's all I'm saying. No dignity at all.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And that brings us to our next top story, which is Apocalypse Now news. This is the news that a Tesla software engineer has suffered serious injuries after being quote-unquote mauled by a malfunctioning robot at the floor of the factory in Austin, Texas. Alison Spittle, you've mauled an innocent passerby before. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah, this is what I've always suspected about robots and AI and stuff, is that they will hurt you. And I would love to be at the HR meeting between this robot and the person that this robot mauled. What I love is there's an article about in the New York Post. Imagine that, like, sorry, you're trying to explain consent to a robot and pain. It's a lot of stuff for that robot to take in.
You know they don't care about you when they put you in mediation with the robot that mauled you.
Well, and the robot has to speak in like feeling terms and stuff. It's like, I feel like your flesh is just too soft for me not to maul. But what I love is like this. The article brings up so many accidents that happened at like Tesla's factories after, and you're just like, it's just like, I would not work in a factory. I did work in a factory, for one day. I worked as a person who puts ball bearings into office chairs, but I realized I was allergic to latex because the gloves I was using broke me out in a rash, and I was delighted that was the way I found out that I was allergic to latex. Like, I feel like in a safe work environment, it's a good way to find out your allergies. But yeah, this basically this robot mauled.
Did you resign with a letter that said this is unbearable?
Oh my God, Alice! I wish I had you about 10 years ago to help me with my work issues. Yeah, because then I worked at a camel factory. There was stuffed animals. There was stuffed with straw. And I'd be like, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. It's all the, it's all simple.
You did get to resign with a late text about your latex, so that helped a little. My microphone literally gave up at that moment. You might hear a crash on the record there, but my microphone stand went, you know what, no, I'm not participating in this, I'm boycotting the rest of this joke.
Someone needs to step in. But yeah, this is a workplace accident in the Tesla factory, and they gripped and they said caused like some lacerations to the flesh and stuff, which is so scary. But I've been gripped before by like bouncers being thrown out of nightclubs and stuff, and I feel like the robot is trying to pretend that it's not as violent as it actually is, you know, by just grabbing you a little bit. But then, you know, I don't know. no control over itself.
Well, the fascinating thing about this story is that it cannot decide how much to anthropomorphize the robot that caused the injury. The language throughout is sort of mixed between using extremely like active language, like the robot mauled and a malfunction occurred. Yeah. And so I feel like this article perfectly encapsulates the human ambivalence towards robotic help, whether this robot ought to be seen as a sinister threat deliberately damaging its coworker, or whether this is a human error caused by lax safety standards in this factory.
Yeah, you never say, like, I made love to my flashlight. You know what I mean? You don't anthropomorphize it that way.
It is the exact problem with Tesla as well. It's a real overpromising. Like, they can't even give us a robot apocalypse you could really believe in. What they do is they're like, yeah, we're going to have a robot apocalypse. Anyway, we hurt one guy with an arm. But in like 15 years, if the governments get behind us and we get enough defense contracts, we promise we will ruin the whole world. It's actually, this is a couple years ago. And as Alison said, like, this has only just come to light along with a whole bunch of other mess ups. And then just to add to like the really bad start to the year of Tesla, footage from Kiev this week reportedly showed a Tesla showroom on fire, and you cannot confirm if it's been struck by a Russian missile or that's just what happens to ordinary Teslas sometimes. So it could have been just a completely unrelated incident that's going on there. Actually, that's what they should be doing. Send all those robot arms out, do some good for the world, get them on the front line.
Reach out the robot arm of friendship, crushing the dove of peace due to programming error. Now it's time for our reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. James, what have you brought in for us this week?
Oh, I'm worried I might be a little bit early on this one because I love to do end of year reviews, but I always get really busy around the end of the years with holidays and Christmas and all this stuff coming up. So I thought I'd get ahead of the curve, get ahead of everyone else putting theirs out, and I was going to do my end of year reviews now. So I'm reviewing 2024. Best movie. I haven't really seen anything yet, unfortunately. Sorry, I haven't had time. Best album. Nothing's really come out yet. Best book. Oh, no. Biggest story, I haven't been checking the news. Good year, though. 5 stars, in my opinion. Really, really all downhill from here.
I think we can all anticipate the best book, James, will be your book, which is coming out in the next few months, I believe.
Next month? End of this month. I should know that. End of this month. But that's such a lovely plug to shove in this section.
Alison, what have you brought in for us?
I've brought in, because I'm never going to have a mortgage or a house, I've got some avocado topping that I bought. Look at the depressed face on the front of that avocado topping. It's very millennial.
I thought avocado topping was a very specific sexuality.
Yeah, it is a very specific sexuality.
Yeah, it goes along with smashed avocado.
Yeah, she's nonplussed, you know? just maybe a bit like avocado. She is like avocado herself because we're just putting stuff on her to make it, you know, she's very plain, but it's what we add ourselves that make it actually good. The avocado topping, it's basically salt, and it cost me about £4, and it's a very small packet, and I do feel like this is my finances in this is like, this is me with my finances in a nutshell, is buying avocado topping when it is salt and some sesame seeds and, oh, crushed chili. But yeah, anyway, I'm going to give it. Sorry. Genuinely, I was like, I've not been feeling that from you. Like, where is this crushed chili? I'm going to give it a 3 out of 10 because I feel like a millennial having it in my cupboard. And you know, I feel like I'm a millennial having it in the cupboard that I share with 2 other people. You know, that's the kind of thing. Because I live in rented accommodation and I'm fine about it. It's fine.
And in Australian head of state news, which is to say Australian head of the state of Denmark news, Queen Margaret in Denmark has abdicated the throne in favour of her son who is married to an Australian. That's what that joke was. It's a very long way round if you don't know about Crown Princess Mary, who's an Australian who met the prince in a Sydney bar during the 2000 Olympics, which has led to many, many a Sydney girl getting drunk in a bar in the many years since. James, you've been drunk in a bar before. Can you unpack this story for us?
Oh, pity the poor people who went there to meet the Prince of Denmark and found me in a Sydney bar. But as I was mentioning, Crown Prince Mary is maybe one of the biggest stories in Australia for so long. And this is massive because over the span of a couple of months, things have happened, so they actually have a reason to write about her. They never stopped writing about her, but now things have happened, so it's quite a big deal. So just a quick summary. According to the article I read on this, the surprise abdication of Denmark's queen may be a calculated strategy to save the marriage of her son and heir following rumours he had an affair with a Mexican actress. Royal experts said on Monday, to continue reading this article, you can subscribe to The Telegraph, cancel anytime, click here to start your free trial. Already a subscriber? Log in. So some really worrying stuff there early on in the article. This is a bit of an unfamiliar area to me because I would think just personally that if you were covering up an affair from the prince, you just have the princess killed. I would think. Like, I'm not referencing anyone in particular legally. I was just saying, if you're in that situation, like if it was me and I was like the husband of the queen, I would simply orchestrate that. And then a bit further down the track, make sure that any prestige television seriously addressing the happenings of the time got all weird and unwatchable as soon as this came up. That's what I think you should do. I do like the idea, though, that they're fixing the affair by just giving him more to do. Like, you know, here's a new job. Now you can't have any affairs anymore. But this is like, the problem with all of this is speculation by a bunch of supposed royal experts. And look, if you're a Dutch royal expert, you had some time on your hands. It is a nasty shock to be called into work this early in the year. You had like 1600s was a big time for you, and then you were pretty clear. Dane royal expert. But in my opinion, all royal experts are about as useful as a cock on the Pope. And the reason I say this is that this very article right now, this article puts in this whole big story. This was put in Sky News Australia as the truth about the abdication. And the whole first two-thirds of the article is about this affair and potential cover-up and what royal experts say. And then the final third is how the Queen had back surgery and had been thinking about abdication. They filled in for her while she was having back surgery and has just been bit under the weather lately and not up to doing the duties anymore. So that's almost certainly the reason why she's doing it. But it could also be this insane conspiracy theory that's come from nowhere. Is there any of that segment that is legally okay to publish?
Like, she was getting back surgery from the weight of carrying the monarchy on her back. Like, being a royal, I wouldn't want to be a royal, because I grew up in a council estate, and to grow up in a small rural council estate is like being a celebrity in your own right, because everybody gossips about you. I remember seeing two women have a physical fight out in my green because one accused the other of doing a thing, and this really dates it, as one accused the other of teletext dating, which is where people, remember CFAX and teletext? In Ireland, you could put up personal ads, and someone presumed that another person on my estate had done that through detective work, and just, I think, the feeling of vibes. And they had a physical fight to sort this out. And I feel that's what being a royal is like, you know? There's a hand across the class divide. It's just everybody. Do you know, being a royal is exactly like being in a council estate, as in you need a little help from the government to live, and also people are worried about who you're shagging and how many kids you have. So it feels very much like being like my childhood. I was a princess growing up.
And that brings us to our final story, a hopeful and good news story on how to improve your 2024 going forwards. As we launch into a new year, we all want to have the best year that we possibly can have, I assume. I don't know why I'd assume that about you, listeners. You're listening to this podcast, after all. have we got any advice? James and Alison, have you got advice for our listeners as to what we ought to do in the year ahead?
Imagine if I'm like, invest in gold and buy canned goods. Like, and then I don't elaborate. Do you know what? That's what I'm going to do. F*** it. Invest in gold, get physical gold bars and canned goods and thank me in 2025.
I'm going to go the other way. Get as many Bored Ape NFTs as you can. They're coming back, baby. They dip and they rise. They dip and they rise. They're about to be cool again. I can feel it.
It would be funny if the gargle now started getting into the NFT game. Now that we've seen how it plays out, it's like, now's the time.
It's a good time to launch it, I reckon. Like, you got Steamboat Mickey coming off copyright. We could start with that. It's time to get some good gargle NFTs.
Well, some of the advice that is being given by scientists in this article on the BBC is that you should focus on your sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That you should focus on your body. That you should focus on your mind, and that you should focus on writing original content for your essays. This is like some of the most predictable and boring advice. This is not the advice I want for 2024. I want the buy gold advice. Yeah. I want the very specific, very weird advice. Just don't eat a pineapple in 2024. That's what I want to hear. I don't know why I said a pineapple. I've been eating a lot of pineapple recently. Apparently, that's what the baby wants.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take up darts because I feel I could beat a 16-year-old. I don't know why.
I feel like you'd have the psychological edge.
Yeah.
Alison.
Yeah, I would. I'd be like, I've seen things you wouldn't believe. And then I'd hit a bullseye.
I think the real problem with me is, like, I started this article, and as I was reading, I was like, oh, this is interesting, you know, because it's the kind of, I'm an optimist at the start of the year. I'd really like to, you know, work on something, put a goal in, try and achieve it. And then I scrolled down and I was like, well, this is actually quite a bit of stuff. It seems like a lot of work. I'm a few days behind already. Do you know what? Screw it. Next year, this year's a write-off. It's done. There's nothing going in. The only New Year's resolution I have, is, and I had the same last year, I'm really going to stick to it this year, which is to quit smoking. And I don't smoke and never have, which makes it really easy and achievable every year. But when you say that this year I quit smoking at the end of the year, everyone's really impressed with you.
Oh my God.
Didn't smoke a single cigarette.
Do you know how I started in the year? I went on a bender with my friend in her house, right? And then I woke up in her house and went down the stairs, and her boyfriend had just got in from a park run. That's the type of life he has, and that's the type of life I had. He came in from the park run and he looked around the kitchen where I had built some sort of den with a rose and loads of flowers under a table and pretended it was a coffin. And he came back from his park run, and I'm like, this is not the life I want to lead.
I hate to say, I feel I went overboard in how much of a annoying dad I've become, because we were at a party for New Year's and it got to 11:58 and everyone ran inside to be like, oh, we've got to watch the countdown and the fireworks. And I was like, all right, we know how this goes, let's go. And then we caught a cab at 11:59 because, you know, at 12:02 you are not catching a cab. So we went home.
That's amazing. That is the ultimate. Oh my God. You sound like a man who loves foreplay and is just like, I don't need to, I'm fine. I know how this goes.
Just get the point.
This was, to be fair, James, we are the generation that came of age when Y2K was a thing. So at this point, any year that doesn't end with the prospect of the entire immediate collapse of all civilization, it just feels like a bit of an anti-climax.
Yeah.
That brings us to the end of the show. I'm flipping through the ad section at the back. Alison Spittle, have you got anything to plug?
Oh, baby, do I have something to plug. It is called a tour. I'm doing a show called Soup. It's on the early part of this year. We're going to places like... Oh, I don't even remember the names of these places. One place is Leith. And I'm like, is that a place? So I'm really excited about going there now. Like, it's going to be great. But so go to my website or my Instagram, and you find all details of that tour there. Please come to it. My New Year's resolution is to advertise that tour more. Yes. And also, if there's any gargalers that are financial whizzes, contact me, because my New Year's resolution is to sort out my life. And
I can help you out. Just buy some gold. It's the
everything else to sort itself out. Canned food as well. Beautiful. Yeah. We'll do
that. And James, what have you got to plug?
Yeah, right, I'll pull this out again. It's mentioned before, but the next big thing, which I have in my hand for any listeners, an actual physical copy of this, is out at the end of this month in Australia. Elsewhere, you can contact your bookstore, and just if you bring a weapon, they will find a way to order it in. And I've been everywhere if you're in Australia this week. And in like the Big Issue, which is a good magazine to pick up because it supports unhoused people in Australia. I've got a nice little year wrap in there. I'm in the Sydney Morning Herald. You know, you can't, you're probably going to be sick of me by February. So pace yourself, but I'd say buy the book and avoid everything else if you have to.
And I'd like to plug Braxton Hicks Contractions, which are a lot like being elbowed in your pelvic floor from the inside.
Oh, that sounds great.
Mainly because that's what they are. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. It's a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts, and blogs, as well as my weekly salons and writers' meetings. We do 2 writers' meetings a week, so there's one in your time zone, and you can sign up to that starting at $1 a month. And it's pretty good. I enjoy it. Other than that, this is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. I'm Alice Fraser. Our editor is Ped Hunter. And our executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.